This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 27 for the week of April 7th, 2014. I am Tavern Chicken David T. Cole, and I'm here with Dire Wolf Treatmonger Tara Ariano.
Sit.
Even whiter walker Jeff Drake.
Gold fingers.
And King Beyond the Wall Nick Reinwell Jones.
Nice to see you.
Hello.
Sarah D. Bunting is not joining us this week because she has been out of town on
doing
assignment.
Sports stuff.
She was at a baseball conference
sports.
Delivering a paper.
Wow.
I know.
That sounds so made up.
And yet it's true. It's 100% true. However.
But let's look at the evidence.
Yes.
Sarah's into sports.
Yep.
She loves to read.
Right.
I'm wondering if she even watches TV at all.
Yeah.
She definitely watches TV. But replacing her, we have not one but two guests, Nick Reinwald Jones and Jeff Drake, both of whom are going to be covering Game of Thrones for us on Previously.tv.
They
all
are
this
our
season.
Game of Thrones power couple this week.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. And they are both here with us. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the premiere.
Season 4. It has started, finally.
Yep.
Whew.
Let's assume that everyone who doesn't want to be spoiled definitely watched it last night. Apparently HBO Go figured its shit out at about 9:45 Eastern,
oh,
I read.
Yeah.
So even the thieves got to see it.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like there's that many spoilers, though, to me. I mean, but...
It was kind of a boring episode. And I base that on my having watched 4 episodes of the show prior to this one.
Well, let's see what the experts think. It was perhaps uneventful, but let's see if boring.
Well, I mean, the first episode of any Game of Thrones season, including the pilot, I mean, it's always kind of scene-setty and, like, these are going to be the things we're exploring this season and kind of, like... It's the opposite of a network show where you have that, like, eventful finale, and then the pilot just, like, picks up right up. They're like, all the stuff that they showed in the third season finale, we probably won't see again for, like, several episodes. So it's just kind of how it goes.
And on the other end, don't they usually sort of do the big episode as the penultimate episode of the season,
like
the and then
they
sort of have a denouement episode? Yeah.
I would say that I didn't find it to be boring. As I mean, it is very first episodes of every season have been like very much like putting the pieces on the playing field, you know,
right.
Like setting up the board and now everybody go.
Because it's a game.
Yes, and as far as that goes, I feel like this was like the strongest season opener I felt since coming into the show, you know, the very first episode I thought was really good, but I thought just for setting the stage for, like, you just know major shit is going down this season.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, there's a lot of, like, the fact, and especially in context of all men must die, it's like, oh, are they going to kill off every single male character in this season? It's possible.
And the boy dragons.
Yes.
So just, have you guys... read the books, or are you
I'm sure this came up when you did the when you presented one for the canon, but I can't remember.
I have not.
No, and I have zero interest in reading them, actually. No, I mean, for, like...
Well, why would you now?
Right, I mean, like, the people who've read the books, like, know all of, like, the crazy stuff that's about to happen, and I don't, and that's one of the things I've loved about the show, is just, like, I love that everybody is expendable.
Recuse myself from a bit of this conversation because since the forums have sort of, you know, gone crazy after the twapocalypse, I have had to moderate a lot in the Game of Thrones area. So I have, in the process of that, learned some things that are about to happen on the show.
You've become sullied, to use the language of the forums.
Yeah. You've jumped on the spoiler grenades for everyone else.
I have. So, knowing what I know. And now, and seeing that, you know, yes, the first episode does set up some stuff that obviously, you know, it's going to happen. You know, as storylines tend to do, move along. But yes. But all right. So what are you guys hoping for this season? What would make you happy?
Well, I'm really glad that they've moved a lot of things back into place, like that Jaime is back in King's Landing so we can have, like, I feel like we missed a lot from not having, like, Jaime and Cersei together. Even if they're not going to be together, I mean, like, Cersei didn't really have anyone good to play off of for a while, and now I think that's going to be really cool to see how it plays out, especially with, like, the kind of jilted lover scenario going on there, and also with Brienne now being back and the, like, the wedding happening with, well, the two weddings with Cersei and, what's his name?
Whatever his name is, the gay guy.
Slow Loras. Slow Loras, yeah. You know, it's, and clearly with, there's a lot of political maneuvering going on with that wedding with the Tyrells and everything, so there's a lot of stuff that was hinted at last year that will hopefully pay off now.
Yeah, one of the things I really liked about the, about sort of getting Jaime and Cersei back together, first of all, just a fan of brothers and sisters being in love, obviously. but, like, they, it was an interesting thing to be like, oh, like, they were so, like, in the beginning seasons of the show, like, they were part of their, like, chemistry, like, really fueled it, I thought.
Right.
And I thought it was such an amazing, like, such an amazing thing that he comes back and Cersei is like, thanks for being imprisoned all last year. It's like, my hand got cut off. And she's like, not good enough. Like, she's so horrible. It's fantastic.
Well, yeah, I think, like, as bad of a person as she was with Jaime, she became a worse person him, and now she's just that person, and, like, there's no room for him anymore.
And here's a big difference between how I have been consuming the show and how I kind of realize a lot of other people are consuming the show since the forums have sort of taken off, which is when I watch the show, what I get the most joy out of are the terrible, horrible characters.
That's true of you with almost every show that you watch.
That is true, but the horrible characters in Game of Thrones sort of, step it up a notch, right?
You know, like, they're dismembering people a lot on the show.
Yeah, and shoving kids out of windows and all this kind of stuff. It's great.
That kid had it coming.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It knew what it was doing.
Mom told him not to climb the wall.
like, everybody, I'm hearing a lot of, like, oh, how much I hate Tywin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's the dad.
That's bad dad, and bad that's why I call him. and I'm like, man, he is like in my top three, of characters.
Well, he's getting shit done.
That's exactly why. If he was here today, we'd be calling him a captain of industry.
Yeah.
No, he's brilliantly evil for sure.
He is like he's a Rockefeller. Evil. He is like a Carnegie. He's that kind of character, and he's getting shit done.
Well, there is no shortage. I'm surprised you don't. Considering what you just said, I'm considering you don't like the show more because there is no shortage, of horrible people in it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Even the good people eventually become horrible,
right? I mean,
or get killed.
Like when you're like, oh, the Hound, that guy, and his grabbing a guy's face and shoving it into a sword five times. Yeah. That's so him.
Yeah, I think it's probably just a general case of fantasy fatigue that I get after a while, which is why like I never get sick of The Thick of It. But after a while, Game of Thrones sort of tires on me, which is why I usually, this may seem counterintuitive, but I usually just save up the series for after it's done, just like, all right, I'll just watch it on an airplane or something, just like, here and done.
And not worry about people seeing over my shoulders when horrible, disgusting perversions
are
happening.
Hey, what are you watching there? You got yourself a finger bang scene, do you? So,
it's The Good Wife.
What's your mileage like? Got a lot of points?
What? No, I mean, I think there's a lot of, I feel like the things that were set in motion, like it's very interesting that Jaime comes back and Cersei, like, he and Cersei, he's no longer on, like, nobody in his family likes him. And it's like, he's, and it's kind of like, what did I do? Like, I got captured. I'm sorry that we got ambushed and I was captured.
Like, well, he's become more likable to the audience and then less likable to everyone else.
So completely.
In his circle. Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that now that I'm coming around to liking him more, he'll definitely get killed.
Yeah.
So that feels like it's happening.
Yeah. That feels like, their MO.
Can we talk about Peter Dinklage's accent for a second? Because it was pretty rough last night.
It's been rough the whole
series.
It's
not his strength. I feel like it's a consistently mediocre, I would
Is
it? Call
it. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was something where, like, the further you get into the season, he locks into it.
I just sort of make it. It's just Dinklage accent, and I just like I'm like. But weirdly, I have the same problem with what's his name from The Wire with Littlefinger.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Aidan Gillen.
Yeah, uh-huh. And he's but I mean, I guess it's not his native accent, but he does have a...
He's Irish, right?
Yeah, he's, like, Irish, so, like, he should be able to nail it down. Like, those yeah. people are very good at accents.
You would think.
Yeah. Mm. So, but moving past Cersei, the other one is the introduction of the new character, the... Oberyn. Like, way to introduce somebody that you just know is, like, all... Nothing but threats and, like, oh, I believe this gentleman will carry through on his threats.
Yeah, well, and that's like what the show has taught you is that that's the kind of character that thrives in this world. If you're trying for anything remotely noble, you will get killed. But if you're just going to be like a badass who wants to go around killing people, mm-hmm. you're yeah. fine, which is why Arya is probably going to be okay now.
Oh my God.
Right.
And in a different show, you know, introducing a character like that wouldn't really mean as much as it does in Game of Thrones, where you honestly don't know when somebody's going to bite it, who's actually like, you cannot depend on anybody being expendable or not.
Yeah.
So when they introduce a character like that and the first thing he does is make out with a dude and stab another dude in the yeah. wrist with a knife, yeah. you know that he can be a credible threat. And who knows, like by the end of the whole series, he could be the dude on the throne or whatever, right?
Right.
You know, like,
can I just say something to your point about making out with a dude? Can HBO give us some equal opportunity?
Some dong?
I don't even need to see dong, but like a butt would be nice.
I wish I had a ding dong sound effect right there.
I mean, what is this, House of Cards? Like there's one kiss and they're like, well, that's enough. Right. Now back to this girl's tits.
I know the show is kind of like, it's weirdly like 90s homophobic.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's George R. R. Martin or if it's.
I don't know that he has that much pull on
Fantasy Melrose
show.
Place. They won't show the.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely trying to appeal to like beer swilling dudes with like the ratio of like.
I guess.
Which they don't. I don't think they need to.
I don't think so either. I feel like I know a lot more women that watch the show than men.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think they're already losing like people who just want to watch like WWF or whatever.
Right.
You know? It's like
especially last night because it was WrestleMania.
Ah, yes.
Oh, did not know that.
It was a big, big night for TV, guys. So you mentioned, you brought up Arya, so we should probably talk about that last scene.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
That was a great set piece. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that, I mean, if you, you know, you contrast like how Arya's behaving with how Sansa is behaving, and they both of them Sansa. Having just
fucking crybaby.
Both of them having Seriously. Just found out at the same time that their mother and brother were savagely murdered, and Sansa's just like, I don't want to eat, and Arya is just like, when can I get a horse?
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah.
And Sansa, I mean, I love how like how they just like completely go there with her character that like she. Fucking offs that guy in like the most incredibly
Arya.
I'm sorry, not Sansa. I love that they go there with Sansa. That she's really just such a whiny baby that you can't stand it. Mm-hmm. No, but then Arya, like she, like there's like no glimmer of like yeah. remorse yeah. or like do I really want to do this? It's all like. This is happening yeah. right now, and this is how it's going down. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, and it's not even presenting it like, oh, this is kind of sad that this character has gone mm-hmm. down. And it's just like, no, hey, isn't this awesome? Like,
that guy was going to rape her. Of course, yeah. she should stab him more.
It is not sad at all. It's fully.
And as you pointed out,
awesome.
Tara, this completes the recent child yes. rape storyline hat trick for Premium Cable
of Sunday night shows. I don't even know how many child rapes are happening on other nights of the week.
So we had
I'm one behind on Trophy Wife.
Walking Dead and remind me
True Detective
completing yeah. the hat trick. Mm-hmm. So
there's your trifecta.
Way to go, Cable.
I mean, admittedly, I only watch Game of Thrones. I watched the season yeah. the series premiere yeah. and the next episode yeah. for the podcast.
Right.
I watched the one that you presented for the canon. I watched the season 3 premiere, and so this literally is the 5th episode I've ever watched, and I feel like Sansa Stark is moping around in all of those
yeah.
episodes.
She is to Game of Thrones what Daisy is to Downton Abbey.
Oh.
She is continual mope. She does nothing yeah. but mope.
Boo.
Yeah, even when she had it good, she was moping. Like, even in the very yeah. beginning when she was just like, she was like, oh, I want to marry Joffrey, and like, oh, I'd love being, you know.
And much like Daisy, she is, you know, gonna inherit large tracts of land and still crybaby about the whole thing.
Oh, she's not going to inherit anything.
As I tweeted last night, just kill yourself. Like, yeah. if this life is such a veil of tears.
Well, no, but I think they were just kind of calling that out, and hopefully now, like, with that scene with, mm-hmm. like, she's like, oh, yeah, I saved your life, and, like, she actually smiles. Like, maybe...
Right.
you know, they're going to pull her out of that, because otherwise, like, just don't even bother showing it. Let it we can stipulate that Stansa is depressed.
There's almost, I mean, at this point, like, since Joffrey is no longer marrying her, there's like no, there's kind of no reason for her character. So, right. She's not...
Until something threatens her, or she threatens someone, basically.
I mean, she does sort of, like, galvanize the new comedy duo of Brienne and Jaime. And I just love that, like, he's sort of kicked to the curb by his sister. And then he's so, like, he's just, like, whipped by Brienne. It's hilarious. It's so...
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. That I really... That's what I found last night's episode to be so funny. Like, they're just from, like the Brienne and Jaime thing, and, like, of course, Bronn and Tyrion are just, like...
Bronn is great. Bronn is probably my favorite.
Oh, Bronn is fantastic.
Bronn is just, like, solid gold the whole time.
And not to mention, actually, having the balls to play a game of chicken over chicken.
Yeah.
Where that whole escalation of, you know, like...
Oh, you're talking about the hound.
That's not Bronn.
No, I'm just saying... Of you know, things that are, you know, of you know, just the
comedy things that happened last night.
To actually play chicken with chicken.
Yes. But then, like, and it's been building since last season. Like, Arya and the Hound are like the perfect duo.
It's the Paper Moon remake with.
It is.
I was
going to
say they're like Totoro and Totoro's friend or whatever.
It's so fantastic that they're just like traveling the countryside, and like either one of them is capable of dispatching you with like. With no remorse.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things where, like, it really, it pays off that the show spends so long on these storylines, even if they advance slowly, because if they had gotten there with Arya and the Hound after only a few episodes, it wouldn't have been believable, because they've been, like, you've felt the length of their journey together. You can believe that they've arrived organically at this point where they're actually, like, a duo and not just, like, enemies.
Well, it's really interesting, because his character, like, you know, he's disfigured because of fire, and he's terrified of it to the extent that he like basically ran away from a battlefield.
Right.
Like, this guy that seems unafraid of anything, like, literally ran away from a battle, and he's sort of being called on it, but it's still like, you know, like it, so it's like it's a weird like sort of humanizing moment for a monster, like, because he's really a monster of a person.
Yarp.
Yarp.
Yes. Oh, the Yarp guy from Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, one more thing I wanted to say about Oberyn. I mean, just going off of what we were saying before about how much of a badass he is. I just love the fact that he's just, like, walking into the Lannisters' court and being like, tell your father that I'm here to kill all the Lannisters. And, like, not worrying about what's going to happen to him.
Yeah. We admire your honesty, is what you say that.
Yeah.
We hope to change your mind on the subject.
Yeah. Thanks for coming to the wedding.
Can we talk about how the Mother of Dragons only has one outfit?
Daenerys?
Sure.
She's on the road. You have to pack light.
Yeah.
You have to pack light to travel.
Yeah, you watch The Amazing Race. Mm-hmm.
When is that storyline going to intersect with anything else?
It's going to be a while, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the
it's
long...
like 170 dead kids from now, at least.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
That was kind of artful how they were just pointing over. It's a good use of resources.
Follow me to the gas station. Yeah.
Let's all go to the disturbing lobby.
Burma shape.
Quickly, just around the table, favorite characters, because I think that it speaks a lot to the nature of the person.
Yeah, I like Bronn.
Yeah.
Based on my 5 episodes.
Okay. Jeff.
It's hard for me to choose. Currently, I'm going to go with Arya because I'm like, she's finally being activated, and she got her sword back, and it's like, well, a long time ago she laid out a list and she started ticking off names, and I'm looking forward to her completing her list.
This is what we all want revenge to be.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
At this point, I'd have to say Oberyn.
Nice. Yeah. Good choice.
Yeah, he seems like a really strong addition.
I'm pretty excited to see what
they
happened.
They really well cast, like, just, like, immediately came in and, like, this deep into the series to, like, introduce somebody new and be like, oh, I want to see more about this guy.
Especially since really the last thing I saw him in was Graceland. Did anyone else watch that show on USA? As a CIA handler guy.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. Very, very different role.
So when they showed him in the previews for the season, and he was saying, like, tell your father that, you know, I'm here for revenge or whatever, like, because I guess, like, Dorne is, like, Spain in this world, all the Dornish characters have, like, kind of Spanish accents. I was hoping that he was going to be related to Arya's, like, sword teacher guy, who got killed like way back in the first season. And I was even like, oh, that's awesome that like that dude knew someone who like came back for revenge. But I mean, it's still cool.
Yeah.
Dave.
Well, I'm going to stick with my first choice of character, which is Tyron. Is his name?
Tywin.
No. The
Tyrion.
Peter Dinklage.
Tyrion.
See why I tell you? Originally, we're going to have a quiz where people would show photos and I would have to guess a character's name because I know like 20% and then the rest I'm close or I just have a nickname for him and I just the way I have to deal with it. Yeah. But Peter Dinklage is great in the show, accent meandering, notwithstanding. I just really love his arc. I feel like he, every season he gets more screen time and, you know, he is, you know, the little guy that you root for, excuse the pun, but you know what I mean? Like everybody shits on him. Like, and like, it's so a matter of fact, how everybody in his family shits on him. So every victory that he gets is great. Even if nobody else acknowledges it, you know, like the big battle from last season and everything. So, I would like to see more from him and like, let's get rid of his, whore friend
Shay. She got annoying all of a sudden. It was working out okay between them, but now it's like I'm not that interested in seeing.
Well, I think we can probably assume that something not very good is going to happen to her now that she's been tattled on.
Oh right,
by one of Cersei's.
Bad things happen to whores on this show. Like really bad things.
Also,
oh god, there's such
that's
a
why you go to such secretarial college.
There's such a distasteful loose lip sink ships that you made for that one.
Really.
All right, let's go around the dial, shall we?
David Letterman announced last week that he is retiring from The Late Show. He's probably won't take effect until sometime next year, but that hasn't stopped every fucking person from rushing to make their lists of 10 people who should replace him. That would be pretty good.
Yeah.
They even kind of look alike a little. Same coloring.
Once a week, a Red Wedding-esque audience bloodbath.
But on Thursday, not on Friday.
No, not on Friday. But on Fridays is the good day for bad news because then everybody has, you know, the weekend to cool down.
That's true.
Yeah. So the latest rumors are CBS wants Stephen Colbert. That would time out well because apparently his Colbert Report contract is
totally
up next year.
See that.
I could see it, but somebody on my timeline on Twitter last week said Stephen Colbert taking over The Late Show would be like a chess grandmaster switching to, you know, Twister. Yeah. Like it would be such a squandering of his gifts.
Well, but I can understand. That's assuming the format would stay the same, which isn't necessarily
that's true.
When you have so many strong contenders in that field, I mean, I got to believe somebody's going to try to break out of it. And even if it is a Colbert-esque take on it,
yeah,
you know, even if it's sort of a transitional thing, that would still be quite a bit different from everything else that's there.
True.
Somebody needs to break the format of late night TV. It is essentially remained unchanged.
I mean, I think Fallon is doing as much as anyone to do that with, you know, he's doing more games and like weird sketches and stuff like that.
Yeah. The top of the show is always the same for like, that's the annoying part to me is like, why do you have to start with a monologue like that?
Well, yeah, they're still trying to mimic Johnny Carson when like almost nobody watching late night now has ever seen
was
Johnny
alive
Carson.
And then today, now that there's a report that's like Chelsea Handler's name's been floated, like
barf.
Sure it has by her. I'm sure, like I'm sure one of her assistants was like, here, it might be Chelsea Handler, and so it was like, I hear it might be Chelsea Handler too.
Well, I agree with those two, Chelsea Handler.
I just
it's all just her voice. Yeah.
That QK is overrated.
I can see them getting a woman like just to shake it up in that respect. I can't imagine that it would be her. I just don't. I mean, I know she's leaving her own show now too, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
Anyways, Kathy Lee Gifford.
That would be interesting.
Even drunker.
Yeah.
Anyway, the only problem with this, like, you know, David Letterman is 67. Like, he certainly earned the right to step down and retire. It's been a long time that he's been on late night. The only problem I have with this announcement is that he made it a year in advance. So then we have to have a year of, like, what's all the fucking blog
like
posts that are going to all be
the same.
It's
like the presidential campaign.
Yeah.
Yes, it's already, exactly.
Yeah.
They already last week, as soon as it happened, there were all, like, the flush of blog posts about, like, what Letterman has meant to the, like, we know, he's not going, he didn't die. There's still another whole year to
get
to.
Yeah, but then we'll get the whole thing. So, like, the next wave will be, you know, the skirt chaser Letterman stories, and then we'll like finally get back to
they'll come back around.
And Gawker telling you why you should actually hate David Letterman.
Yes,
by Hamilton Nolan, the troll of Gawker. Anyway, sidebar: Veep also came back last night, and Veep is so great.
Yeah, it was really.
It was
good.
A very, very strong episode, which I may have watched twice.
Yeah,
I watched it one more time when you were at dog lessons on Saturday.
Oh, yeah,
Veep totally merits rewatching.
I mean, I'm very excited to see what's going to happen this season, especially with, I don't know if you want to spoiler this.
Sure, I can do that. Spurs ahoy, fun ahoy.
Jonah getting fired. So what's going to happen with him? Does that mean he's going to be gone from the show?
I got to believe there's going to be some sort of like everybody splitting apart and reforming, because for a show called Veep, I don't think she's going to win anything. Something's going to happen.
Yeah,
true.
She is going to remain the vice president. So I would imagine there'll be like this campaign and things will self-destruct in some manner and then sort of slide back to some measure of status quo territory.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting that Elaine from Seinfeld has basically become George from Seinfeld in a way. Like, she's so, like, the best possible things could happen to her, but it'll still work out so horribly for her. And
yes.
It's magical to watch.
Well, and she just finds such great ways to be pessimistic about the best things that happen to her.
Yes, but it was, I think the premiere was a good mix of, like, her winning and her losing.
Yeah.
You know, like... That she has this dumb book that she doesn't even like to support. That she didn't even write. But then she got, that nice moment with Kevin Dunn, like just shit talking in the hotel suite. The two of them are very funny together.
Yeah.
It's a real testament to the people that run that show that it really managed to step out of the thick of it sort of style.
Yes.
And still be just as strong in sort of a parallel way.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like it's really good. And really different, despite, like, on paper, it seeming like it should be a carbon copy.
Yeah, I mean, I remember reading something between season one and season two that they had to, like, course correct and have her win sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, have her not just be so downtrodden 100% of the time. But I agree with you that they've calibrated it really well.
Well, you could definitely see that difference in season two versus season one.
Yes.
Like, season one, I thought was good, but like had it not been Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I don't know if I, because she's just so good and so funny, mm-hmm. that I don't know that I would have like stuck with it as much.
Yeah.
And then season two was just like
so
a
good.
Home run.
Yeah, season two was fantastic. Good. Yeah, season one reminded me more of the, like, well, I haven't really watched the thick of it, but I did see In the Loop, which mm-hmm. I didn't love. And it was, I think it was, like, that was just so hard trying to be, like the micro of politics. And then once they get into stuff that's a little bit bigger, it's more fun, I think.
Yeah. The thick of it is good. I think you might, if you like Veep, you might like it if you started from the beginning. It takes a little while to warm up to, but then I feel like you lock in. One more thing. That it's funny to think if there had not been the Academy of Country Music Awards, there could have been potentially a Gary Cole three-peat on TV last night, because it was on Veep and on Bob's Burgers, and could have come back for his Good Life role if that show had been on. On to you, Jeff.
Now the Veep spoilers are at an end. Jeff.
Oh, I'm moving on to Turn, I take it, going back in time to 1776,
mm-hmm.
a time when there were spies in America.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of excited about seeing the show just because I'm like, sure, like real life spy ring set in a new time period. Sounds great. And I have to admit that for, I was kind of medium on the pilot. I thought it started off very slow and very confusing. And
yes, I agree.
Some of the...
A lot of cabbage work.
Yeah. There's somebody like...
Tan these parasites!
Yeah, it really reminded me of the old joke about the guy who goes into a general store and there's bags and bags of salt around, and the guy goes... Customer comes in and says, wow, you must sell a lot of salt. And the guy goes, no, but the guy who sells me salt, he sells a lot of salt. And that's how I felt about that. It's like... Like, the props guy was like, I got us a deal on cabbage. At first I was like, is it just because I'm so dumb about history? Which is totally possible, because I am very dumb about history. But then I thought it paid off to a certain extent. I don't think it's, like, if every... if every episode is sort of this sort of level of excitement, I don't think it's going to be that much worth it. But it seemed like it set the stage for being potentially interesting.
It was a mistake for this pilot to be 90 minutes.
For sure.
Because that
they
was...
They had to catch the last half hour of people that were turning off Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't 90 minutes worth of stuff in that episode.
No.
And it showed that it was sort of stretched out.
It did feel long.
Yeah, it did. And, well, first of all, I've been calling the show 00-1776. I'm very proud of that. But so far, no, like, quill dart cufflinks or anything like that.
So far.
The premise is really interesting.
Yeah.
I just kind of, like, I will watch a couple more episodes to see if they can kind of kick it up and, you know, raise the stakes that, you know, this farmer turned spy, you know, will get himself into. But as it stands right now, it sort of felt like that it was like, and I hate doing this because I'm like, don't do that. But it kind of felt like, why did you guys cancel Rubicon to give us
I
this?
Thought that too! God, Rubicon was so much better.
Yeah, I mean, as spy stuff goes,
in
really
the world
enjoyed...
of AMC spy dramas,
yes.
Yeah. Rubicon is here.
Yeah.
Up high in the
air. Her hand is as high above her head as
but,
it
you know,
be.
Like, they present you with a high concept show, and then
yeah.
they deliver a low energy pilot. Mm-hmm. The disparity... You know, is even more magnified, right?
Yeah, Jamie Bell is not charismatic. Mm-mm. In that title, in that, not the title role. He doesn't play Turn.
His name is, yeah, it's William
Jack,
Turn.
Jack Turn.
The world has tried so hard to make Jamie Bell happen, and he just
He's
hasn't happened.
He's not interesting. Yeah. He's really not interesting.
I do have one last thing to say about this, and it kind of falls under, I'm not a crackpot.
Okay.
But
enough with turning letters around in titles, please.
Yeah,
I know it's called Turn, yeah. and that makes you feel like you've got permission to turn
right.
the N around,
yep.
but ultimately, it doesn't mean anything.
See also The Americans, although that's supposed to be Cyrillic.
See also The Tomorrow People. See also
oh.
The Event.
Oh,
see
yeah.
also there are
yes,
others
tons.
In just like the last 5 years. It's really, it's... Like it's, I feel like it's like, I don't know what to do with this title. Turn one of the letters around.
I will say, as a non-American, it made me realize why that whole thing about soldiers quartering in people's houses is in the Bill of Rights or whatever.
Yes,
that does seem annoying.
That is horseshit.
Really, really seemed very annoying.
It was a very rude house guest.
Oh, very
Speaking
rude.
To your point, Jeff, the obvious mistake was that this character wasn't named Jack, and the title of the series was Disunion Jack.
Oh.
yeah. That's, had it been on a network, it would have been called that.
Yeah. Nick.
So I have wrapped up my coverage of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. For the
ever.
Site. Forever.
I feel like wrapped up isn't maybe the right term. I feel like maybe it was buried in the woods.
You're like, I have thrown a match behind my back on the bridge.
And you're walking away in slow motion.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I was... So this weekend I saw Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and I was very curious to see it. Not, I mean, on one level, because it looked like it was a really cool movie, and it was a really cool movie.
Do we
movie.
Have to spoiler this?
We actually probably should for Captain America, yeah.
Okay. Captain America, spoilers aho, fun ahoy. I haven't seen it either. Should I leave the room and come back? Because I do want to see it.
It's I will as vaguely spoil it as possible.
Okay.
Did you end up seeing it?
I have not seen it either.
So I was curious to see it because the producers of the show have and Marvel in general and stuff have tried to say, like, look, Captain, I know that we've told you guys that these like the shows are going to intersect with the movies, but Captain America is for real when it's going to happen. And I was very skeptical about that, you know, for a lot of reasons. Like, for one, if they did a lot of plot points in the movie that only made sense if you watched the show, they would lose almost everyone because almost nobody watches the show.
Yeah. Yes.
And so the question becomes, how do you, like, do a connection like that where it works totally even if you've never seen one of the things? And the answer is that you can't really in any meaningful way. And the answer is that, no, they didn't really connect it in any meaningful way. They didn't. They certainly made no allusions to the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. crew that is running around on the show, mm-hmm. to Agent Coulson still being alive. And the only crossover thing was that they had, like, a very secondary agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. who has appeared on the show be a very secondary character in the movie.
Oh.
His name is Agent Sitwell, which I think may, because Joe and Anthony Russo directed the movie, who also directed.
Yeah. Did his eyebrows move around his head?
Well, he is bald. Face. Yeah, so nice.
That's who directed the movie. The,
yeah,
wow.
Well, they
same guys who directed the Arrested Development pilot.
Yes. And a bunch of episodes.
They're mostly,
and a lot of Community too.
Oh yeah, they've directed their huge.
Yeah, and they did. I mean, they definitely have a career in movies based on that. That's what I've heard.
I've heard it's very good.
I would say the action in it was like as good as anything in the Avengers. They're going to have to raise the bar a lot for Avengers 2 to make it better than this. But but yeah, I mean, I think you know. I just imagine the writers of the show being really pissed off seeing that movie because the action is so big budget and so incredible. They're like, well, fuck, how are, like, yet another example of something that we cannot live up to in any way whatsoever.
We got two Vespas this week.
But the, you know, the spoiler that I really revealed that has been revealed, and I won't say like any specifics about it.
I know it has
but,
something to do with the title character, secondary title character.
But S.H.I.E.L.D., I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. as it exists does not exist anymore after the events of Captain America.
Okay.
So the whole infrastructure has kind of been taken down. So.
Oh no, who's going to send out all their tax forms at the end of the year?
Wait, what government agency decides new acronym names?
Oh, can George Lucas do the story of rebuilding it from laying out the, like, HR? Like, who do we start with?
Gentlemen, welcome to TRADE.
but yeah, so I wonder, I mean, I am curious to see the next episode of the show tonight because...
Tonight as we record Tuesday.
Yes, tonight as this airs. Yes, this is not Tuesday as we record. Okay. Because, I mean, are they going to... If they completely change the show, like, 180 degrees, then, okay, I mean, that's gutsy, but it's also, like, what was the point of having this boring-ass two-thirds of a season up to then? Well, and if they somehow try to contort it into still being this group of people going around on missions, then it's really stupid. So.
Well, FYI, they moved it to 9. They're going to repeat
another
episode at 8. I think this is for a tryout to see how it does in a new time.
So you're saying there could be side boob now.
Yes. And then a question mark? I cannot confirm or deny.
But it's just Agent Coulson.
Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and he's the Shield's Bowers. And finally, I have two previously.tv rewatch pieces of information for you. One, Stargate SG-1 is starting a rewatch from the beginning, starting with the movie and then proceeding into season one. So if you're interested in that, go to the forums, find Stargate SG-1, and I think it might be starting now. They might be talking about the movie. So a good group of people there. They're very organized. So check that out. And second of all, speaking to rewatches, as we talked about last week, there is a Firefly rewatch going on. Because of all the site busyness all of a sudden, I have not been able to watch Firefly with them, and I probably won't. But as promised, we do have a little special treat for Firefly people. We commissioned our friend of the show and site, Adam Blau, brother of DJB from Television Without Pity, and he's written for us too. Mm-hmm. We commissioned him to do some alternate takes on the Firefly theme. As we all know, the Firefly theme is the best theme on television. So we commissioned him to do one. Here's the first of, I think we're going to have 4 on the site eventually. So please enjoy Firefly Polka.
Take my love, take my love, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. You can't take the sky from me.
and check the site for Yacht Rock version. They'll go up on Tuesday.
Oh, so good.
And a couple more versions to come probably in the next week or two.
I'm going
to
retweet this also, but Adam and Dan also are behind Out Couple, yes. A great video that they made.
It was really fun.
It's the supposed opening credits of 2.5 Men from Japan.
Oh, that was
where
it is genius. It is genius.
So Adam wrote the music for that. And I think he wrote the came up with the concept as well.
It was really good.
Was it Adam and Rebecca singing?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's Adam and Mrs. Adam.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
Yep. So check it out.
Futurama is brought to you by Thompson's Teeth. The only teeth strong enough to eat other teeth.
I'm nominating season 3 of Futurama's Insane in the Mainframe into the canon. This episode gives us the delightfully crazy robot, Roberto, as well as giving us a great location in the asylum for crazy characters. Insane in the Mainframe starts with Dr. Zoidberg receiving gifts for his 10-year loyalty to Planet Express, where he's presented with an empty pension fund. Fry realizes he needs to start saving for his future, so he uses his talking $100 bill to buy lottery tickets.
Well, down to my last lottery ticket. Cherry. Cherry! Mule. Crud.
After that ends, belly up, Fry decides to start a pension account with his last $6. Though he is already $4 in the red due to a $10 monthly fee, Bender gets to meet an old friend, Roberto.
Jeez. I've seen lines move faster in the sperm bank.
That's for sure. Roberto, is that you?
Bender! Hey, man!
You old lunatic, how you been?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. Everybody on the floor! This is a stick-up!
Roberto robs the bank, and as a thanks to the terrified Fry and nonchalant Bender, gives both of them a classic sack full of money. This winds up the both of them in court, where Fry is threatened by a badly disguised Roberto to presumably make hamburger meat out of his internal organs, apparently an excuse not to testify, according to the 67th Amendment. Their inept hyper-chicken lawyer, known as Matt Cluck, comes up with a plan to get them off on grounds of insanity. This works fine for Bender, but happens to have unintended consequences for poor Fry.
Counselor, what evidence do you offer to support this new plea of insanity?
Well, for one, they done hired me to represent them.
Insanity plea is accepted. Mr. Bender, I hereby commit you to the Asylum for Criminally Insane Robots until such time as you are deemed cured.
Yahoo! The system fails again!
And, Mr. Fry, I sentence you to the Home for Criminally Insane Humans.
Your Honor, that facility has been full ever since you ruled that being poor is a mental illness.
Order! Order! The only poor people I want to hear about are the people who tend to my paws at the spa. Just send them both to the robot loony bin and let's go.
Fry, being sent to a place where he doesn't belong, has a torrid time. What with his exploding car salesman roommate, malfunctioning Eddie.
The car dealer? Wow, I guess his prices really were insane.
He's very excitable, so don't say anything to surprise him.
Pleased to meet you.
Actually, we've met once before.
What?!
And a whole cast of crazy robots tormenting him to near insanity.
Oh, you gotta help me, Bender. How can I prove I'm human?
You could drop dead. That'd show him.
I don't wanna.
Hey, man, I believe you're a human.
You do?
Sure. They don't believe I'm a human either. Name's Unit 2013. Come on, let me introduce you around. Fry, meet Norm. How's it going, pal? Still picking up transmissions from the CIA on your teeth?
They just won't stop.
The CIA cafeteria menu for the week of May 15th is as follows. Monday, shepherd's pie.
Let me guess. He thinks he's Lincoln.
Well, he's supposed to. Problem is, he's got multiple personalities. All of them Lincoln.
I was born in 200 log cabins.
And this here is Frankie. He's convinced he's a lunchroom worker, so they put him to work in the lunchroom. How is work in the lunchroom, Frankie?
It's all right.
Poor Frankie.
Bender, naturally, loves it, and develops his own Napoleon complex, mixed with a banjo for some reason.
Gonna sing a little tale about a battle called Waterloo. Bonjour, y'all!
Luckily, Fry is finally discharged, but to everyone's horror, he has had his emotions stripped, and his mind believes that he is a robot.
I feel nothing. I am a robot. Beep, 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 beep.
any at all attempts at doing basic work are foiled by Fry's ineptitude at being a robot, and attempts to rouse him to life, even a kiss from Leela, do nothing to stop his insanity. Bender, still in the asylum, meets Roberto again, and the two escape after Roberto vows to rob the bank he was sent here for robbing again, the same bank that he robbed earlier in the episode. After the third robbery, Bender and Roberto decide to hide from the police at Pranet Express, where a drunken Fry, trying to fuel his non-existent power cells, lays sleeping. After everyone is tied up by Roberto as hostages, including Bender, Fry wakes up to save the day. His own personal identity quest to find out what kind of robot he is ends as he discovers he is a battle droid. Roberto runs and stabs him, but a conveniently placed can of oil protects Fry and convinces Roberto that he is really a robot.
No knife can penetrate my skintanium armor.
Help! Help! He is a battle droid! Somebody help me! Mommy! I'm sorry I spilled the transmission fluid, Mommy. No, no! Don't weld me to the wall, Mommy!
We're willing to listen to your demands.
Hey, baby. Wash that off before you put it back.
Roberto flees, and Fry releases the hostages before noticing blood from a nick Roberto gave him, making him realize he is a human after all. This episode is one of the best of Futurama, for it has a great cast of one-off crazy robots, and the zany plot is wrapped up nicely in a bow at the end. Unfortunately, Roberto is drawn from more than once in later episodes, but his first appearance is a great example of the kind of one-offs that, like that guy, that made Futurama great. Thanks for the show, keep up the great work, and hope this reaches you. Oh, and this is by Victor Savage.
Victor Savage. Man, he won the name lottery when his parents gave him that one.
He was the victor in the name lottery. Yes.
Thank you, Victor, for that extra credit submission. You get an extra credit, of course, redeemable for an extra hot, great topic of your choosing. Thank you. This is actually one of my favorite Futurama episodes.
It's very quoted in our household.
Very. My favorite Futurama quote of all time, like without even a doubt, is, "Oh, Frankie." How's the lunch line there, Frankie? It's all right. Oh, Frankie. This kills me every time. Gordon Lightfoot's here. Hi, Gordon. Really strong episode. He is totally right that they should have just kept Roberto in the vault. They did bring him back. And much like the whole series return was like 20% good, 80% forget about it.
Especially since what had been the series finale was such a great way to end it.
It was pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. I really do like this episode a lot. It is up there with the Time Keeps On Slipping episode for me. He's right. It's pretty dense with the kind of jokes that made Futurama good without being too sort of internet jokey, where it's like, oh, here's a whole bunch of math puzzles and alien graffiti and stuff like that, which, you know, is a fun little treat here and there. But I find sometimes with science fiction shows or shows that sort of overlap with science fiction is they can tend to listen to the fan base too much, you know, kind of the squeaky wheels. And then that sort of translates into the type of show that I think Futurama became after its return.
Like a balloon and something bad happens.
Like a balloon and something bad happens. the other quote from this that I really enjoy is Hermes' just throwaway line about after Fry is scrambling to get things to eat at the asylum.
Poor Fry. He's got the munchies for freedom.
I just love it.
This your second most quoted Futurama line, probably.
Probably, yeah. I am often reminded of this episode because I do quote it so much. There is a kind of a chunk that isn't so great. I'm just curious if anybody's going to talk about maybe a weak point of this episode, but I'll let everybody else go first. Who wants to go?
One of you gentlemen should go first.
Sure. So I am not a huge Futurama fan or watcher. I've seen probably 10 or fewer episodes in my lifetime. I had not seen this one before. I liked a lot of individual gags in this episode, and like pretty much all the ones that Victor had us include were some of my favorite moments. I don't know that it was my favorite Futurama on the whole, for a couple of reasons. One is that I sort of feel like Futurama has the same thing going on as The Simpsons, where like The Simpsons got much better once it stopped focusing on Bart and started focusing on Homer.
Right.
And this episode focuses a lot on Fry, and I feel like the funnier ones are the ones that focus on Bender. I just don't really find Fry to be that funny of a character. Like, I feel like, you know, it's like the lazy slacker stuff, just kind of like, I don't know, it feels a little one note to me. And I felt like having Fry in the robot hospital was hilarious, but as soon as he got out, it was no longer funny to me. And that was, I was
Is
like,
that what
oh,
you were
why
gonna
did
say?
He, why did he have to stay in the, why couldn't he just stay in the hospital for the whole episode? And
yeah. Yeah. That it sort of loses its wacky magic.
Yeah,
when
I mean,
they get out of the asylum.
Once he's like out and pretending to be a robot, it felt like it was like grasping. It was like kind of like an improv show where they have like a good idea, and then once they're trying to like heighten it too far, it just like gets out of control. The exploding roommate, if the whole episode had been that, I would vote a definite yes, because I could have seen that like gag another 20 times. That was just like
the previous episode that Malfunctioning Eddie is in is so great too, because it revolves around Amy going to buy a car. She doesn't know, because she's the rich character, she doesn't know how it works.
Right.
So she looks at the sticker price and then she's like, I don't know, 80,000. So it's like, it's not an auction. So you see when the guy that comes to visit Malfunctioning Editor Eddie Victor is one of the car dealers. So you just see the gag in the back where Victor is like, I don't know, my boss is going to be really mad. And he goes into his office and you see them through the glass, like jumping up and down. Anyway, continue.
And then one thing that just like, you know, I know it's a comedy and everything's supposed to be fair game, but like the voice of Roberto made me a little uncomfortable, because I felt like he was supposed to be kind of a black robot, and it was like, felt kind of like comedy black voice to me, and it was voiced by David Herman, who's a white guy. So I feel like, well, you can do that, but like, why not just bring in a, you know, one of thousands of African American voice actors to do that? Like, it does, that felt a little bit like,
or one of
know,
the ones that's actually on staff, like,
right,
Phil Lamar.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I don't know, that I didn't think that made him funnier, and it made me feel a little weird about the about his whole character.
So I guess he's saying I'm a racist.
Everyone who likes this show is a racist. You
all
suck.
Fair.
That's
yes, totally fair.
That's fair.
Everyone who's ever watched Futurama.
You hear that, Victor Savage?
Yeah. and on that highly political note, I will yield the floor to Jeff.
Great. Great.
How racist are you, Jeff?
I really love that you were my opening act. I'm actually more of a Futurama fan, although I don't think I saw a single episode after it came back. But
it's probably
like,
fine.
But like early on, I used to watch it, and then I sort of just fell away. I was like, oh, this will be fun. Like, I generally like them. And I was just sort of surprisingly like meh about this episode. Like, I thought there was a lot of funny stuff, like some of the stuff you talk about, and actually I think it's the first soundbite, the cherry mule. To me,
yeah,
like mule is like the funniest possible choice.
It really is. I thought that at the time I was watching it, because in my memory it was donkey. It was like, oh no, of course it's mule. Mule is funnier.
Like, you know a joke's coming. You know it's like cherry, and the third one's going to be something else. And like mule, and you know the writers' room, they had a list of like 300.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, and mule is seriously the funniest.
I often have these scenes in my head where writers are in a room and they spend 3 hours talking about the most comedic number to use when somebody says how many of this or that.
Yeah.
The other thing about the mule is that they do a little callback to it
later.
Yeah,
like, are you a mule farmer?
Mule farmer.
Yeah, at the bank where the teller says, I don't think farmer.
I thought, and for some reason, I found it really funny that to call in his threat, Roberto has a flip phone, which seems even funnier now, because such a thing is so not a thing anymore.
Right.
I just, the character of Roberto just does nothing for me.
Yeah,
like, he just kind of, like, he's, like, I kind of get who he is. I didn't have a problem with the racism, I guess, Nick. I don't know what the deal is. No, I mean, I didn't think that would, like, to me, that wasn't, like, the problem. It's just, like, I don't know, just, like...
There's a weird moment with Roberto at the end where he's, like, as he's about to jump out the window, he's having this flashback to his mom who was welding him against the walls.
Oh, yeah, that was really weird.
It was, like, super dark and not funny, and I was just... And the other... So that was, like... That was an odd comedic choice for that moment, because it took something that could have been lighthearted, and it kind of just tweaked it where it was like, well, that was odd and dark.
It's also a weird kind of resolution to the story, is that he's like freaked out that Fry is actually it just sort of logically didn't make that much sense to me. But the main thing I think where it stumbles is like, oh, it seems to be setting up that this is going to be like a parody of Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be because it's got a Nurse Ratched who's literally a robot with a ratchet arm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then nothing is made of that. And it's just and so to me, it's like, but why?
Although I think Futurama might be the only animated show that touched on One Thrill of a Cuckoo's Nest without doing the Big Chief throwing the drinking fountain through the window.
Which they did on The Simpsons at least twice.
Yeah. At least twice. And The Critic and like everything. Yeah,
so I mean, it's like... It's almost like, well, why even, like, it's sort of like a half measure of like, well, we'll go kind of half of the way there. And so to me, like, the gold standard is Poplars for Futurama.
Yeah, like, that's a very good one.
And I mean,
the sentient chicken nugget looking things.
Yes. They find craters full of chicken nuggets on a planet.
What seemed to be some kind of delicious food.
And they're actually
larvae of an alien. It's a nurse planet.
It's a fantastic episode. But I mean, that said, like, it starts off with maybe one of the funniest jokes ever on TV. Thompson's teeth. Strong enough to eat other teeth. Like, that's to me, like, it's moments like that and the cherry mule. Like, that's evidence of how great Futurama can be. And it's not like I thought this was a bad episode or anything. I just thought, like, there are parts I enjoyed, but I was really kind of hoping for more.
The other weak spot of this episode is the courtroom.
Although I never knew that character was called Matt Cluck. That Matt really Cluck? Makes me like him more.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, me too.
Judge Whitey is sort of like, you have to use him about one third of what they actually used him because
did you have a problem with that character, Nick?
Yeah, Nick.
Surprisingly, he had a blind eye to that.
Although I understand that banks are where poor people keep their money.
the political stuff jokes in that courtroom scene like made me so surprised to see that it was in 2001 because I was like, wow, that felt so current.
I also think it's a great episode right up until the point that when Fry gets out, and then it falls apart. I especially like the sequence where Fry is being on-ramped into the mental hospital, where get to see him go on the conveyor belt and
the drill going into his mouth,
his mouth, and then he has a gamma scan and it makes all his stomach acid boil, and
that, and again, I think like the sound guy and the writers talked an hour about what's the right kind of belch for this moment.
Yeah.
Is it a big rolling one? But no, it's actually just like a reflux belch. It was perfect.
But like the apocalypse, being wrongly imprisoned is one of my irrational fears.
Yeah.
And so this has a lot of resonance for me.
There's nothing irrational about that. That's
true.
Yeah.
How would you convince a robot mental asylum that you're not actually a robot?
Right.
The more you insist on it, the more they're just going to think you're intractably crazy and, you know, trying to point at your face and saying, look, I do all kinds of human things. I age, see?
Yeah.
He tries to age in front of him. So all that stuff was really good, I thought. And the sequence that we played with Unit 2013 showing him the ropes is gold.
I will admit, I think I'm blinded by how much I love
you love
that
Frankie
joke. I love the Frankie joke so much.
It's like my top ten
TV things. Like
it's a really great
list.
It's like a surprising, like you're expecting it's such a bigger joke and it's just
it's all right.
And the other jokes are really good in that sequence. That's why I kind of wish that they spent more time in the asylum because the CIA dude, when he opens his mouth, all his teeth are like little radar dishes. That's why he's picking up the transmissions about the lunchroom. And then the other joke I really like is
Shepherd's pie. How did they decide on that one, as opposed to
well,
New England clam chowder or something?
Salisbury that was a writer's assistant forced to come up with a list of 27,000
I assume it was a Good Shepherd movie joke. Shepherd's Pie.
Oh, well, this was well before The Good Shepherd Era.
Was it?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
2001.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Well, I guess this The Good Shepherd was based on this episode.
Exactly, Dave.
And the other joke I really like is the schizophrenic multiple personality Lincoln.
200 log cabins.
Yeah, I was born in 200 log cabins. That's a great, that's a good piece of business.
I like the Mad Hatter, too. Even though it doesn't really add anything to the Mad Hatter, I just love any Alice in Wonderland reference.
But, yeah, I mean, I do agree with everybody that it would have been a much stronger episode if they could extend that sequence and just put an out of asylum button on it in a more efficient manner, maybe.
Much like News Radio did in their wrongly imprisoned in a mental hospital episode, which is much better and also has one of my favorite gags. Let's go with snack time. What are they serving? Snacks!
Yay!
Anyway, so.
Bio units, terminate noise exchange.
All right, so let's put to a vote, Tara.
I wish I could give half a vote, but I can't, so I'm going to have to vote nay. But thank you so much for the submission, Victor Savage!
As terrified as I am of you because of your name, Victor Savage, I'm just glad I'm not the deciding vote and I'm voting no. Sorry.
The racism has no reflection on my vote, but I am still voting no because I didn't laugh enough.
I am voting yes. I do admit to this episode's faults, but I think the strong pieces work so well for me and are exactly in, you know, my sweet spot that I overlook it. So one vote, me and you, Victor. When the revolution starts, remember who's not against the wall. It's me.
That's right.
Futurama Season 3, Episode 10, Insane in the Mainframe. Sorry, you are not inducted into the extra hot great canon. Aw.
Americans love a winner.
Yeah.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It's time for winners and losers of the week. Tara, take it away.
The winner of the week is a very dear, close friend of Dave's, and it's a surprise.
Okay.
It's Dracula.
Oh, my God. I didn't know.
I know. It was a surprise. The reason that Dracula...
I'm here.
Surprise, we got him on such short notice.
...is that his very good friend, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, apparently tweeted or in some other way indicated that...
That guy's a righteous dude.
He claims there's going to be a second season of Dracula.
Bah!
That has not been confirmed anywhere else.
Can you see the size of my smile?
But I felt like that merited comment.
Oh my, this is exciting news. When will we find out for sure?
I don't know. I will keep an eye on it.
Have your people talk to my people.
I can imagine a scenario where it comes back in England, but NBC is like, we're good.
Yeah.
So I don't think it did so great here.
All right. Good news, and who's our loser of the week?
Well, loser of the week is the Carrie Diaries, and probably, and indirectly, Sarah D. Bunting, because her favorite, Chloe Bridges, has just booked a guest arc on the next season of Pretty Little Liars, which either means the Carrie Diaries is not likely to come back, it was definitely on the bubble, or if it comes back, she will not probably be in it. Either way, it's very sad. Sad news for Chloe, a.k.a. Donna LaDonna.
The Gary Diaries, nice little show. Cute.
You're a fan?
I've lived through many decades. and the 80s, being the me decade, was good. Greed is good. What's that, Dave? What? Hang on. Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Do you know what time it is?
Is it game time, sir?
Game time?
I am told it is. All right, everybody. Since Sarah is away, this will be a non-regulation week for game time, but...
Mm-hmm. Off come the pants.
Three... All right.
You gotta be comfortable.
No loss.
So at 3 Dave points up for grabs today.
Oh,
wow.
The winner will receive 3 coveted mysterious Dave points.
How many Dave points do we have to get to find out what a Dave point
well,
is?
Well, I assume you've all been keeping track of your Dave points.
I have
Sarah
zero.
Has, I don't think anyone else has.
How many do I have to use to get out of this apartment?
We'll find out at the end of the show.
Boy.
So since Sarah is gone, this will be non-regulation. This week's game time comes from Ron Ackner, who earns himself an extra credit, redeemable for an extra hot great mini topic of his very own choosing. Today, we are playing a game we sort of played in the past, but it's been updated and expanded.
Ooh.
We are playing Bands on the Run.
Oh, fun.
Which will test your knowledge of fictional TV bands.
Ooh, very good.
I will read you the name of a band from TV, and you tell me what show it is for 2 points. If you are stumped, you can ask for a hint, and I will give you the name of a member from the band. I will add that sometimes the member will be very useful, sometimes not so much.
is the way of life.
Sometimes when I say, it's the Tom band, and you ask for a clue, you might hear the clue, Tom.
Got it.
After the clue is given, the right answer is worth 1 point.
Got it.
There are 60 bands in play. Ooh, everybody's going to have 20 questions.
Okay.
We have a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Yes, Tara.
What is our order?
Okay, let's go to Picky. That is our person in control choosing initiative 3000 to see who's going first.
We will start with valued guest.
Uh-oh, valued guest. So, let's see it. Rock, paper, scissors. Go. Scissors.
Double
go.
Scissors.
Okay, rock, beat, scissors.
Rock,
okay,
beat, very so, good Jeff. At rock, paper, scissors.
Mr. Jeff Drake will go first.
Are we going to go clockwise?
Nick will go second since he's the other guest. Yeah, and then Tara will go last.
Got it.
Okay, are we ready to play Bands on the Run?
Sure.
You bet.
Yes.
Oh, I do want to say, there is a band clue that if the clue is not given, I will ask you for the answer, for the band member in question. You'll see when you come.
Okay.
If you can give me the correct answer for that band member, you win the game instantly.
What? There's a golden snitch?
There's a golden snitch.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. So, starting with Mr. Drake.
Yes.
The band is Feedback. Looking for the show. The band is Feedback. You can ask for a clue. I will give you the one of the characters that was a member of Feedback.
I will take a clue, please.
Mr. Rosso. Mr. Rosso.
I wish Nick had won rock, paper, scissors. I literally have no guess, so I will say Smallville.
Freaks and Geeks?
Freaks and Geeks is the correct answer.
Dave Gruber Allen's.
Dang it.
All right. It's been Nick, I think you're going to... I got a good feeling about this one. The band, Dingoes Ate My Baby.
Oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Correct. Why isn't my... There we go. All right, Tara.
Yep.
The B-Sharps.
The Simpsons.
Correct for 2 points. Back to Jeff.
Yes.
The Worthless Peons.
Jeez. Clue, please.
Ted.
Oh, is this How I Met Your Mother?
Good guess.
The show Scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
Scrubs,
okay.
That's the acapella.
I'll be making that noise a lot.
I will say the questions were randomized before the start of the game from what I received from Ron. So if you start getting all hard questions, you have to blame fate, not me or the author of the game. Moving on.
I blame Victor Savage.
The racist, he's behind everything.
Nick.
Yeah.
The Woggles.
Oh, the Woggles. I know I should know this. I need the hint.
Band member of the Woggles is Russ. Russ.
Maybe I don't know this.
No, you know it.
The Woggles.
You'll be mad when you hear it.
I'm going to be, yes, just, I don't know. Arrested Development.
No, that's the actual Woggles.
I know, I didn't mean to press that, and then I didn't want to stop it. that is not from Arrested Development. That is from 30 Rock. 30 Rock.
Oh,
that
yes,
that is
yes.
The...
Jenna's dating one of them.
Yes, and then he's sort of creepy at the end of
that's
that.
Right.
All right. I miss you, but hey, anytime that you can hear a hot potato is a good time.
Yeah.
So now we're on to Tara.
Yes.
Your band, Mystic Spiral, brackets, they're thinking of changing the name.
Hint.
Trent Lane.
Oh, Daria.
Daria, 1 point. Back to Jeff. Johnny Fish and the Finns.
I don't like this game. A hint, please.
Johnny Fish. Now, I will say, think about words in the in the band name. Place it in time. Maybe you'll get it for 1 point. Johnny Fish and the Fins. I said fins, oddly. Maybe I put an emphasis on fins.
I don't know. The Fish Police.
Happy Days.
Oh, that's what I
thought. I was going to be SpongeBob.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, that would be a good guess. All right, Nick. Annie T and her Bayou Cadillac Band.
Wow. What's the... Say that again?
Annie T, the Annie letter T.
Annie T.
And yeah, Annie, as in Annie, you know, gun.
Right.
And her Bayou Cadillac Band.
Ugh.
You want an extremely useful hint?
It's gonna die.
Don't
yes,
take it.
I'll take the hint.
Come on, Bayou is already
Annie
a hint.
Any hint.
I imagine. I don't actually know. I'm just guessing.
Is it True Blood?
Close. It's everybody's favorite show.
Give him
about
a hint.
Post-Katrina. I did. Annie T.
Oh, Treme.
Treme.
Yes.
I love that you're
decidedly not watched.
I love that it was Annie. You know, as in Annie Gun.
Yeah, what?
Annie, get your gun.
Annie Gun, comma, get your.
Yeah. I'm just trying to move it along.
Okay, all right. By saving those two words?
I'll start removing vowels, too.
All right.
King Thunder. King Thunder.
Hint.
Jeffrey Tonic Mole.
Nope, don't know.
Tough one. Quantum Leap.
Oh wow.
Jeff.
Oh boy.
The Beats.
The Beats.
What? That's two E's. The Vegetable.
I'm just gonna go straight for The Office.
Doug. That was from the cartoon Doug.
Sure.
All right. Nick.
Yeah.
Downtown Sasquatch. Downtown Sasquatch.
One feels familiar, but I'll take the hint.
Craig Manning is a band member of Downtown Sasquatch.
Oh.
Tara knows
that
it.
That would have meant something to me.
Well, you might be able to use that. It means something to Tara.
It's
but
from
what?
A show I watch.
It's
yes.
from
that'll
a show
it down.
Okay, so we're down to like two. Yeah. No, I don't know.
Degrassi.
Correct. Okay. Degrassi. All right, Tara.
Yep.
Zack Attack.
Saved by the Bell?
Correct. Jeff.
Oh, yes.
New Directions. Directions.
I'll take a clue.
The entire cast of this show is in New Directions. Pretty
of course.
Much.
Go with Fish Police.
So there's a show out there that involves a lot of people being in some sort of band of some sort.
Mm.
You're probably pretty happy about it.
Is it Mythbusters?
Do you want to give a real answer?
That's my real answer.
The show is Glee. Glee.
Excellent.
All right. Mr. Rhinewell Jones, Crucifictorious.
Oh, Friday Night Lights.
All right.
Sorry.
Bringing us into our first score break. The Kardashian 11.
Hint.
Kim.
Oh, is it really Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
Saturday Night Live.
Oh,
Saturday
of
Night
course.
Live.
Right.
So, here we are at quarter mark.
Jeff, looking to get on the board.
Yep.
Yes.
Nick has four. I have five.
All right. Easy to come back from this, Jeff.
Oh,
definitely.
We're talking low points.
It feels really
low
easy.
Points.
They're all
right
going
to
be Fish Police from now on.
Okay. Ready, Jeff?
Yes.
William Hung and his Hung Jury.
Oh. Well,
William Hung and his Hung Jury.
Sure.
And the answer is not going to be American Idol or like a show like that.
That's too bad. Then I'll take a hint. Please.
All right. Featuring a player in William Hung and his Hung Jury is William Hung.
These are all my clues. These are all my clues. It's just something from the title. Let's say, Cosmos.
You've made a huge mistake.
I have.
It's Arrested Development.
Mock Trial with J. Reinhold. Mock Trial with J. Reinhold.
All right.
I forgot.
Number 17.
Spread Eagle.
For Nick, the Horn Dogs. The Horn Dogs.
Hint.
Oswald. is in the Horned Dogs.
Oh, the Drew Carey Show?
1 point. Wow. Tough one for Tara.
Yep.
The Ocean Bottom Nightmare Band.
Is this SpongeBob?
C-Lab 2021.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Got a good feeling about this one, Jeff. I think you're going to get on the board.
I have no idea. I'm sure it's unrelated to this question.
The band, yes. The Blues Brothers.
Ah.
The show.
Saturday Night Live.
Correct.
2 points!
Oh.
And just like that, you're in the game.
Oh,
Nick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Way.
You're only 3 points behind the other two of us.
Way, no way.
Hint.
Chandler.
Friends.
All right, Tara.
Yep.
The Redcoats.
Hint.
Fred.
Fred. Nope, I don't know.
The Dick Van Dyke Show. All right.
Wow.
Yep. Jesse and the Rippers for Mr. Drake.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Full House.
Two points. Just like that, he's back in the game.
Literally, there have been three out of all of these questions that I've been able to get, and two of them I've gotten.
All right. So. For Nick, Fat, Black, Horny, and Joe.
Black, Horny, and Joe. Hint.
Glenn. Glenn is a member of this band.
Chose Glenn.
I will give you a last initial. Glenn Q. Glenn Q.
I don't know.
Glenn Quagmire from The Family Guy. All right. Tara?
Yep.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
The Muppet Show?
Correct.
Correct.
All right. For Jeff, Death Clock.
Oh. I know this one. I do know this one.
It's a time slot neighbor to your wife's show. Sometimes.
It's, is it called Metalocalypse? Metalocalypse?
It's close enough.
Metalocalypse is correct. Adult Swim companion to Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a case of Dave Mouth and I couldn't say Metalocalypse.
Oh, boy.
Hurtful.
All right. So, moving on to Nick. Your band is... The Tatas.
Hint.
Linda.
Bob's Burgers.
One point. Funny how that worked out.
That is funny.
All right, Tara.
Yes.
Frozen Embryo.
Oh, no. I know it.
Frozen Embryo. What's the show?
Hint.
Jordan.
Oh, of course. My So-Called Life.
My So-Called Life is correct for 1 point. Jeff.
Yes.
Faith Plus One.
Wow. First of all, that is a great name for a band.
Not to be confused with Crucifictorious.
I'll have a hint, please.
Your band member is Cartman.
Ah. South Park.
Good for 1 point. Nick. Karma Rocket. Karma Rocket.
That sounds familiar, but I'm going to need the hint.
Karma Rocket. Kyle Bradway. Kyle Bradway's in Karma Rocket. Any idea?
No, I don't.
Veronica Mars?
No, close. Party Down. Veronica Mars. Future Farm Team or something.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, bringing us into our halfway point.
Mm-hmm.
Tara?
Yes?
Leaf 7.
Hint.
Leaf 7.
Hint.
Yancey.
Futurama.
Correct. Correct.
Well, Jeff and Nick are tied with 7, and I have 9.
All right, so very close game.
Yep.
Halfway through, moving on to Mr. Drake.
Yes.
Your band, Drive Shaft.
Oh, Lost.
2 points.
I never thought I would be back in this game, honestly.
Nick.
Yeah.
The Operating Room Doors.
Hint?
Leo Marcus.
Oh, that name sounds
Tara
familiar.
Has got a smile on her face. That Leo should tell Marcus. You something. Leo Marcus.
Children's Hospital?
Good guess.
Will and Grace.
Ah.
Will and Grace. All right. Tara.
Yep.
Indomitable Spirit.
Mr. Show with Bob and David.
Correct. For Jeff.
Yes.
Let's see where we are in the list. Lost my place. There we go. Hep Alien.
Oh, wait, say it again.
Hep, H-E-P, Alien.
Hep Alien. I'll have to take a clue, please.
Lane Kim is a member of Hep Alien. Lane Kim. You know what that's from?
If you don't know that, you don't know it.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. I'm not going to pull it out of my head, so...
Answer?
Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls, correct. Yeah. All right, for next, Sadgasm. Sadgasm.
Hint?
Band member of Sadgasm is Lenny Leonard. Lenny Leonard, what's the show?
The Simpsons?
1 point.
Oh, wow.
It's from the terrible 90s episode that still fills me with rage.
The retcon one?
Yes!
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's probably long after I stopped watching.
Yeah.
Nuns in a Blender. Nuns in a Blender. This is for you, Tara.
Oh, hint.
Johnny Rath was in Nuns in a Blender.
Nope. I do not know.
If Joe Reed was here, he might get it, because it's from The Critic. The Critic. All right. For Jeff, Visiting Day. Visiting Day.
Visiting.
Visiting Day. Need a hint?
Yes, please.
Richie Santini. Richie Santini. What show is he from? If you don't know, take an educated guess. You might get a point. Richie Santini.
Growing Pains.
Ooh. Hey, it's a nice show for the racists. Sopranos.
Oh.
That's why I said think of it. All right. Jeff. Sorry, Nick. The Party Posse.
Hint.
Nelson was in The Party Posse.
Also The Simpsons?
Correct.
That was the boy band.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chock Full of Notes for Tara. Chock Full of Notes.
News Radio.
News Radio, correct. Good pull. Synchronicity for Jeff.
Nope. Scrantonicity?
Scrantonicity, yeah,
yes,
sorry.
Yes, I was going to guess The Office anyway, though. The Office.
Yes. Yes, featuring the Synchronicity 2 is the one with the "can't hear you over the din of our Rice Krispies," the best line that Sting has ever written.
Oh,
yes. Lost my place again. Defiance of anthropomorphic sea mammals. Defiance of anthropomorphic sea mammals. Nick.
Hint.
Brendan. Now, I will say, think this one through. Ah. You might guess from the absurdity of the title. Got an answer? Brendan's not going to help you.
SpongeBob?
Everybody wants something to be SpongeBob.
Is it Home Movies?
No, it's Portlandia.
Say that one will be Fish Police.
Damn it.
All right, Tara.
Yep.
The Electric Shoes.
Hint.
Oh.
Kevin Arnold.
Oh, the Wonder Years.
All right, for
Jeff.
Mouse Rat.
Parks and Recreation.
2 points, Nick. Sound Mound.
Hint.
One of my favorite characters on television, Pete Hornberger.
30 Rock.
1 point. All right, taking us into our three quarters mark, Blackapella. Black Capella.
Happy Endings?
Ooh. Would the hint have helped you if I said Burton?
Nope.
Psych.
Ah.
All right, we have 15 questions left. The score is...
Nick has 10, Jeff has 13, I have 14.
All right, super close. Jeff.
Feel yes. Save points slipping away.
Boys to Menorah.
Oh.
Happy Endings.
2 points. Nick. Dr. Funke's 100% Natural Good Time Family Band Solution.
Arrested Development.
Correct. Tara.
Yes.
The Bizarros. Tough one. Probably the toughest one. I'm going to guess.
Hint.
Ian Rubbish. Ian Rubbish, The Bizarros.
The Young Ones?
Oh, totally would have been.
Yeah, good guess. Saturday Night Live.
That was my other thought. That's a stupid Fred Armisen band.
Yeah. All right. Jeff.
Yes.
3 × 1 − 1.
Oh, I know it. This one's going to make me mad.
But wait. If you can give me the band member in question, instant win.
Golden snitch.
Instant win.
Oh, God. If I ask you for the band
member, I will give it to you, but then...
And I win instantly.
No.
I don't think I follow. Yeah, I don't... Oh, God, I don't think I can do this.
Need a hint?
Yes, I do.
Okay, the band member in question is Pootie T. Wolfgang Amadeus Stallone's Von Funkenmeister the 19th and 3 quarters.
Futurama?
Tarnos.
Mr. Show.
Mr. Show. Damn.
Ooh.
All right. For Nick. Pamela Lansbury.
Hint.
Kurt Hummel.
Glee.
1 point. Tara.
Mm-hmm.
Scum of the Earth. No hints on this one. No hints on this one. Scum of the Earth.
You made Jeff guess.
So we'll give you 2 guesses because there's no hints. That sounds fair.
Scum of the Earth.
Scum of the Earth. A band featured on this show. Guess number one is?
Roswell.
Now you get a second guess.
Popular.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh.
Okay, we're on.
I wasn't going to pull it either.
Jeff?
Yes.
2 band names, all same members, Chemical Toilet and The Electric Dream Machine.
I wish that was one band name. Yeah. That was Chemical Toilet and The Electric Dream Machine. I need a hint for this.
Your band member name is Charlie.
Charles in Charge.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
All right, Nick. Mm-hmm. The Exits.
Hint.
Corey Matthews was in The Exits.
I don't know.
That's Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World, correct. All right, on to Tara, and after this we'll do a score break. Your band name... The Silver Platters.
Hint.
Jan. Show with a Jan that had a band named The Silver Platters.
The Brady Bunch?
Good for 1 point. Let's hear the scores.
Wow.
Nick has 13. Jeff and I are tied with 15.
All right. Everybody has 2 questions left.
Okay.
So, the game is up for grabs. Very exciting.
Oh, it's very exciting. Dave points on the line.
Jeff.
Yes.
Boys for Now.
Bob's Burgers.
Now, we have to, in the interest of full disclosure, say that your wife is a writer on Bob's Burgers.
And wrote that episode.
And all questions have been randomized before the beginning.
And Louise, that one. And Louise was in love with Boo Boo, the lead singer.
Yes, and Boo Boo was
one of my favorite
Schmidt
episodes.
And Dave saw him.
Yes,
at the coffee
shop. We often see each other in the morning. At our local coffee shop.
He shops at that Ralph's.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we're on to Nick.
Yes,
the band Cold Slither. Have you been paying attention to things I like?
As much discussed on this podcast. Not today.
Cold Slither, we're playing a tune. No, wait. Cold Slither.
You'll be joining us soon.
Yeah. Cold Slither.
Hint.
Zartan. Zartan's a member of Cold Slither. What's the show?
I'm going to kick myself, but I don't know.
It's too young. And too not paying attention.
Knowing's half the battle. G.I. Joe.
That was...
That's the episode that Dave made Mark watch.
Yeah. It is fantastic. Oh, we haven't... Oh, right. Yeah, go on Netflix. Watch it. It is the dumbest thing. It is so great. Don't do it. No, you should watch it. You should. You should.
No.
It's always conflicting information from you two.
Don't do it.
No, you should do it. Tara.
Yep.
Steve Highwater and the High Top.
I feel like it's going to be Steve Highwater.
But you want the hint?
Give me a break.
The hint was T-Bone, the show, Steve Harvey Show.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Was the hint Steve Highwater?
No, it was T-Bone.
T-Bone.
Oh, right. It wouldn't help.
Jeff Drake, your last question. Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld.
South Park.
Good for 2 points. And here's Nick's last question. Dimension.
Well, statistically, I have to guess and get 2 points to have a chance. How I Met Your Mother.
The hint was not Nick. I'm not joking. The hint is not Nick. Not Nick.
You're not in the band, is what he's saying.
Does anybody know what it is?
No.
Freaks and Geeks.
Oh.
Freaks and Geeks. Another one from Freaks and Geeks. And Tara's last question. Mm-hmm. This wasn't for Jeff. Just making sure that was an exclamation point. Jeffster.
Chuck.
Chuck is
right.
Correct. All right, let's hear them scores.
Nick has 13. I have 17. And the boy that nobody liked just won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Jeff Drake wins with 19 points.
Wow.
Impressive.
I know.
It really...
Valued guest.
It's my middle
parentheses
name.
Parentheses, Jeff.
All right, everybody. That is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We clucked and squawked about the season 4 premiere of Game of Thrones before going around the dial with stops at The Late Show, Turn, Stargate SG-1, Firefly, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Veep. Victor Savage brought us Futurama's Insane in the Mainframe for consideration into the canon, and we determined that it would be crazy to induct it. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Jeff was the winner of this week's non-regulation 3-Dave point game time from Ron. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole on behalf of Tara Ariano.
Dragons.
Nick Reinwell Jones.
this chicken isn't free range.
And Jeff Drake.
Who tries to pet a dragon while they're eating?
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time, right here on Extra Hot Great.
Carry the one.
Oh, you sad, worthless human.
Secret hug of Prog! That was my anniversary gift to La Barbara!
Fear not, for I shall assist ye.
Robots don't say ye.
Relax, mammal. My robotic software shall meet your calculatory needs. What is the meaning of this symbol?
That's a plus sign, you pointy head loony! Quit thinking you're a robot!
I'll show ye.